And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for Tuesday, January 19th, 2021. A good afternoon to you. Thank you for tuning in with us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to be here with you. As always, markettalkag.com is where you can find us, our home on the web. You can also find us via many of our great radio partners on their websites as well. Big thanks to our newest affiliate, the American Ag Network. We appreciate them being a part of the Market Talk family. Well, we come back from a long four-day weekend, and we see a pretty rough day in the grain markets. Here to tell us more about it and talk about it, Bill Biederman with AgMarket.net is joining us. Bill, great to have you back on Market Talk.
Well, it's good to be here. Appreciate it, Jesse.
Bill, we had a very, very rough day in this grain market. It looked like a lot of correction. You know, coming back from a long four-day holiday weekend, I think traders and farmers were hoping for a little better result, but you know, it started overnight. Palm oil futures took a hit, and that soy complex ended up down aggressively today. Corn kind of got pulled with it, and even wheat couldn't hang on to the strong gains from overnight. What did you see overall in this trade? I think we should probably start with that soy complex. I think that's a big focus.
Yeah, down 31 cents was a pretty big hit for one day. That's the biggest one day down we've had this whole move up. And so it shook a few trees. The first thing that I noticed this morning was the weather forecast is not as threatening as what we've been talking about. I mean, it's going to be hot and dry this week in Argentina, but they're going to get some follow-up rains. And a big chunk area did get rains last week. So they're stabilized, I would call it. We think the crop is probably in a stable situation, at least for 2 weeks out. And then, of course, you're really at your critical time frame. The other thing that was a little bit scary this morning was we saw how much the funds had sold in the last 2 days of last week, dropping their long position down to about 160,000 contracts, which still a lot of ownership, but you know they've peeled that back, and so people were wanting to follow suit with them a little bit. And then you know we went down, took out Thursday's low, that added some technical pressure. But honestly, Jesse, To think that we can have some 50-cent swings on a regular basis, even more 80-cent swings, I just think that's the kind of market we're in. All we did today was pull down to the first moving average, and we're not even down to what I would call support on the chart yet.
Yeah, and, you know, I totally agree with you on that as well, Bill. And, you know, we saw the export numbers come in. We saw some pretty strong sales to China once again, but I think – you know, those factors you mentioned, funds getting out a little bit, weather in South America a little bit better, seem to kind of just push that news aside. And I don't have the number in front of me, but it was a pretty good sale to China last week on the soybean side, but it just didn't seem to help this market at all.
Yeah, they bought 132,000 and China, or Japan actually bought 128 corn and Israel bought 100. So we're not rationing. And that's one of the points I wanted to make. You know, USDA, when they put out the World Ag Board puts out the supply demand table, they have to adjust demand down to where we still have a carryover. So, you know, they get the supply from NAS and then they got to figure out how to match the numbers up for demand. And it looks like they pretty much arbitrarily dropped numbers. You know, they dropped feed and residual by 50, total FSI by 100. Ethanol by 100, exports by 100. So, you know, look at this, and you go, they were just kind of knifing through 100 million bushel at a time. But reality is, yeah, we may end up there after we go to a price that rations. But at the price we're at today, we're outselling their demand numbers significantly to the point where on corn, you could argue a 1.3, 1.4 kind of carryover, not a 1.5. And you could argue under 100 million bushels in beans. So we got to see, before we really start to turn bearish, we either got to see a boost in world supply or we have to see demand rationing.
Well, Bill, if I'm a producer, I talked to a couple of producers here this afternoon before the markets closed and they were seeing how down it was. You know, a few of them said, I'm not worried about it. I still got a few beans left. I'm going to hang on to them. And some of them were maybe a little worried. If I'm hanging on to any beans right now or maybe looking at, you know, marketing out for new crop this year, next year, and seeing a big drop like this today, is it time to maybe, you know, think about selling? Or I know it always comes back to those targets, but seeing the market drop like this and the roller coaster we've been on, Is it time to maybe think about moving some with a big drop like this, or do you think it's a one-day hiccup?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to ever talk anybody out of managing risk because, you know, we've got huge profit potential of any sale we make today, whether it was yesterday or today. It doesn't matter. You're still making really enjoyable money for the first time in years. So, yeah, I wouldn't talk anybody out of it. If you do sell, I would budget like 15 cents and just come in and buy an option strategy. You probably won't be able to buy a straight out option, maybe something that's far away, but you could buy what we call, you know, some type of a structure, like a three-way option or a vertical spread or something like that for about 15 cents. And then you're still in the game. And, you know, if we go up another dollar or $2, you're not kicking yourself. You shouldn't be kicking yourself anyway with these profit levels.
Very, very true. On the corn side, a little bit more there. You know, you mentioned some of the funds getting out today and liquidating some of those corn contracts. But, you know, I think for the most part, from what I saw from the technical side, it seemed like corn just kind of got pulled lower by that soy complex and a little bit by wheat losing some of its strength. Is that what you saw today, or was there something else underlying there?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, we're still we did have a little some fairly good movement out of elevators. Honestly, the country elevator sector in certain parts of the country was really getting kind of crunched on margin calls at the Board of Trade with the market going up every day. They have to buy grain from the farmer and sell it on the board, right? So when the board goes up, they got to pay the piper. You know, the basis has narrowed tremendously. So these elevators are like, you know what? I'd be good if I sell the strong basis, move some inventory, get rid of those margin calls, replenish my cash bank account. And that's what we're seeing. So the pipeline did receive some inventory. You know, that should last a week or two before it starts to get back down to where people are starting to buy again. It's not significant. The sell-off, we could go all the way back down to March closed at 526. You could easily go back down to the 510 area, maybe into 495, and it wouldn't hurt this market at all. I know it sounds like, oh, that's 30 cents, but that in this picture, that is not a big sell-off. In fact, that would probably be more bullish because then we're really not rationing. So, you know, you could be talking a much smaller carryover number by the March report.
Sure. Well, and we've been talking as well that we've been waiting on a bit of a correction in this market overall, corn, beans, and wheat. You know, we've kept this bullish run going, and we've waited to maybe see a little bit of a correction like this, and maybe that's the start of what we're seeing. Maybe not. I think it's hard to say with how volatile this market has been.
Well, you know, one thing I keep going back to is in the last 2 years, private industry estimates of whether it's U.S. or South American production have been way more accurate than the USDA's numbers. USDA has finally started to revise down to what the private numbers have been for a couple of years now. And all of the private numbers that I'm aware of are significantly smaller for South America, both corn and bean production, than what USDA is carrying. So, but they're not going to make any revisions until probably March because we're not through the critical growing season yet. Mm-hmm. So once we get into that March report, I think you'll see that. Honestly, Jesse, the only black swan that I could see hitting us right this minute would be people talking about USDA's acreage number on March 30th being 100 million corn acres again. Something like that would really put a lid on the market unless there's a weather problem.
Let's talk wheat here real quick, Bill. Just, you know, we saw some really good numbers overnight, Black Sea, Russia, China, Europe regions. We got some higher closes there, but then we just couldn't hold that bullish rally. We started almost 15 cents higher Tuesday morning in KC wheat and finished up just a penny. I mean, it was a new contract high close, but we still lost a lot of that momentum. Export inspections were kind of bearish again. What do you make of this wheat market? Was another case of it got pulled down by soybeans and corn today?
I think so. The world market is really on fire. I mean, there's more problems developing in Russia. Overnight, they had some extreme cold temperatures with very little snow cover. So we're concerned that Putin is putting a lot of pressure on the ag men, and that the ag men is trying to play the middle of the road between the farmer groups and the grain exporters and his boss. And right now, he's settled with this tax on exports. But that could turn into a straight out restriction of exports. And we're thinking that within the next 4 weeks, we could see that. And if that happens, you know, the U.S. market, until there's other supplies available, is going to be driven higher.
Let's move over to livestock here today, Bill. And, you know, we saw some good strength in cattle futures and in hog futures back on Friday to wrap up the week. We kind of lost some of that momentum in the cattle market here today. You know, I think the one maybe good opportunity with this feeder cattle market is if corn prices continue to maybe trade a little lower, it's maybe some time for some opportunistic trade there to get this feeder cattle market a little higher. But today, really didn't capitalize on it too much. We were fairly mixed, it seemed, to a little bit higher for the most part. Same story in live cattle. What are you seeing here? Are we losing a little bit of that support? Is it weakening here as we start this week?
Well, the short-term caution of the market is the weights that we're seeing, and we're still working through a lot of tonnage on beef. It's getting devoured pretty quick, and we're excited about that. But, if there's any caution in the market, it would be, look, there could be some short-term swinging of this market. We could swing back down to 109, 110. That would kind of line up with where the cash market has been. But in the bigger picture, Jesse, this thing looks good. I mean, demand is really good. We're going to get the vaccine distributed. People are going to be having a phenomenal summer, and we're going to consume a lot of meat. So we're hoping to see this market sell off some so we can take advantage of that and get it bought from a speculative standpoint. From a hedging standpoint, anytime you get up into that 118, 116 on the fronts, 118, 120 on the backs, I mean, you certainly got to look at it making some hedges. And again, to the people that are feeding livestock, if this corn market sells off nicely, be ready to lock in some feed there too.
Let's look over at hogs. That front month contract continues to weaken. We couldn't hold that $68 range today. We finished down $66.47 is where we ended up. And we even saw some moderate losses throughout some of the middle months, the deferreds as well. And I think, it's the same story with this hog market. We're waiting for some demand to come back, but we've been churning through a lot of hogs. And I think I've heard people a little more cautious with the hog market than the cattle market. What are your thoughts after seeing the last few days of trade?
Yeah, absolutely. The hog market has had a product problem with too much of it for a long time.
Yeah.
And would it be possible to go all the way down to $52? I know some people are thinking that. It is possible. I mean, anything is possible. And technically on the chart right now, you have what some people are saying is a double top at $72. It could project down to $52. But I think I'm expecting that if the market gets down to $64, you're going to see demand showing up. I mean, we've got a speculative crowd out there with New York money coming in chasing commodities because of this inflation factor that's part of the federal fiscal policy. You just can't, there's an old saying in commodities, don't ever fight the feds. If the feds want inflation and if their fiscal policy is set up for that, man, take advantage of that because commodities will be driven. There's no doubt.
Well, and that's a great point you mentioned there. And I think we can maybe focus on that to wrap up as we are starting to see quite a bit of commodity inflation here. A lot of money, like you mentioned, that New York money coming into these markets overall, whether it's grains or livestock or financials or whatnot. I mean, it's really, I think, a question of when, could we see how much inflation are we going to see? I guess that would be the question. And I think, the money flow in this market right now is just is really, really intense, and it doesn't show any sign of stopping.
Well, that's right. I mean, interest rates are going to stay cheap. The velocity of money being injected into the system is massive, and it's going to increase by a couple trillion dollars here real quick. Mm-hmm. It'd be really fun for me to see with Liz Yellen out there speaking, push that dollar back up to 91 or 2. That'd be a great selling opportunity. But inflation is going to move up beyond 2%. And anytime it moves up over 1.64, you usually see money run into commodities. We're headed that way. There's just no stopping that. And we have to have that in order for corporate and government debt levels to be serviced in the front end of what we're taking on as the biggest debt crisis ever.
Mm-hmm. A lot of things to consider and a down day today, but maybe an opportunity for producers to take a look at where their bottom line is at and see where this market moves on a shortened week. Bill, I know you and the team at agmarket.net, you guys got a lot of great stuff to help producers. You can help them with their marketing strategies and everything else. And it's as simple as going to the website, isn't it?
Yep, agmarket.net. Sign up for our weekly free meeting. Sign up for our weekly, we put out 4 or 5 reports every day. We'd love to work with you and help you navigate this market.
Well, Bill, appreciate the time as always. I will let you go on this Tuesday, but thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you.
Bill Biederman with AgMarket.net, our guest today here on Market Talk. Find us online, MarketTalkAg.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at Market Talk Ag. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, here. It's been great to have you on this Tuesday, January 19th. Have a great afternoon.